Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Travis. Appreciate you leading in this wonderful time of music and praise today. And such a delight to see you here, each of you who have come. And we're so glad that you're here, part of our fellowship today and part of this time of worship. We've been looking for several weeks through the subject, Where God Writes His Song. And we've seen that God writes His song in a number of circumstances in our lives. He writes His song in the midst of our helpless situations as well. And so we need to consider the true source of help. Today we're going to be looking at Psalm 121. And Psalm 121 is marked in the title as the second of the Songs of Ascent. Now these Songs of Ascent were a group of psalms that were written for a purpose, and they were sung at a special occasion. You find in Psalm 120 through Psalm 134 that these songs were sung by the pilgrims as they were on their way up to Jerusalem to visit the temple. This was a difficult road. It was a hard place, and they had a long journey up the side of a mountain up to the pinnacle where Jerusalem was located. And in this psalm, we find that the pilgrim was on his way to Jerusalem and considering the journey that is ahead of him, and he's fearful of what lies ahead. In fact, the way most of us have read this passage, perhaps the first time, was, I lift up my eyes to the hills, whence cometh my strength. Some people think that their strength comes from the hills, the inspiration of the hills. And whence cometh my help? Many people have interpreted it essentially to mean that my inspiration is found in the grandeur of the mountains. And some probably envision the lofty mountain peaks of the Rockies covered with a white blanket of pure glistening snow and above the rugged slide rock crevices that surround it, maybe adorned by the beautiful dark green ponderosa pines and Douglas fir trees that are there, and sheer-faced falcon roost and the yellow-laced aspen trees, all of those beautiful things that we imagine sometimes when we think about the mountains. And indeed, there is a stimulus. There is a degree of inspiration that we find in mountains like that. But this is not what the psalmist is focusing on. The scripture is clear. The help that the psalmist is seeking and longing for does not come from the hills, but rather from the maker of the hills. The mountains remind him of the dangers and the difficulties of the journey that he's facing, the dangers of the bandits, the dangers of heat stroke, the dangers of wild animals at night. It is all of this that prompts his question, where does my strength come from? And notice he gives himself an immediate answer, an emphatic answer. He says, my strength comes from the Lord. Now, this is not just a wishful cliche, folks. For him, he realizes that God is the only one who can ever bring strength. He's the only one who can ever bring help into our lives. Now, when the psalmist looks at these mountains, he doesn't see a solution to his problems. Instead, he is reminded of a challenge to his life. And you and I have to understand that obstacles are there in our lives as well. And many times those obstacles appear to us like this giant mountain peak looming out before us, something that we've got to climb and overcome. It wasn't just the difficulty of the journey that he is focused on here either. He's also focused on the fact that in these hills, pagans had erected by this time in Old Testament history, they had erected all kinds of shrines to foreign pagan gods. And the shrines were set up in the Old Testament days on the high places. And so that's where you had temples and shrines built to these pagan gods, like the god Baal, the Phoenician fly god, and Asherah, others that were worshipped there. And that is what a follower of the Lord would see when he was going up the side of the mountain, and when he would look there 3,000 years ago. He was surrounded by difficulty, and he was surrounded by distraction. You and I have a similar challenge throughout our lifetime. I'm almost get that little rattle. That's not in our speaker. That's actually my throat. This is coming to you direct. We're surrounded by similar distractions, though. And we're surrounded by these awesome things that loom out in front of us. And sometimes we assume that those things are so great that we're not going to be able to overcome them. We don't need to be mistaken. Life for us is a journey. And life for us is like the journey that was taken by the followers of God as they would make that ascent up the side of the mountain. They realized it was going to be a difficult journey. They realized it was going to be a distracted journey. But they realized it was, in fact, a journey. Now, you and I have to recognize that life is also like that. It is a journey. You see, God calls us to a life of a pilgrimage, a life where we're travelers following the Lord. Now, our journey of faith is never about standing still. It is about growing. It's about developing. It's about advancing in fellowship with the Lord. In fact, the call of Jesus to the people of his day and the call of Jesus to the people in our day has always been the same kind of call. And it was never a call to stay stationary. It was never a call to grow stagnant. It was always a call, rather, to develop, to go forward, to be a pilgrim, a traveler in the process. You see, when Jesus called people to him, it was never gather around me, or it was never stop and listen to me, but rather it was follow me. I'm going somewhere and I want you to go with me. Follow along with me. The call of Jesus is a call to take up life as a pilgrim. And you and I must recognize that there are challenges that we must face along the way as pilgrims. So today, if you're feeling helpless and you need help, or you're feeling hopeless and you need hope, this message is for you because God wants to write his song in the midst of our helplessness. And this song in Psalm 121 is one of those great songs that addresses that need in our lives. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word as we look to Psalm 121? The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber nor sleep. The Lord protects you. The Lord is a shelter right by your side. The sun will not strike you by day or the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect your coming and going both now and forever. Thank you. You may be seated. Now I want you to notice a few things with me this morning. And the first one is simply this. God is bigger than our troubles. It doesn't matter how large that mountain of problems you may have out there in front of you is looming. God is bigger than our troubles. We see that in verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, it is no coincidence that the psalmist said this, that the psalmist instructed this. The maker of heaven and earth. This is where our help comes from. God who made both the heaven and earth, that's who we find as a source of our help. The psalmist is convinced that God can help because he is the maker of heaven and earth. And the pilgrim lifted up his eyes to the hills, and what he saw made him anxious. He saw a great challenge that was looming there before him, and he realized that the maker himself had made it all. You see, we need more faith like children have. Whenever they get into trouble, who do they go running to? They go to their mom or to their dad. They recognize that they can't work it all out for themselves. We need to be more like little children. And we need to recognize and realize that when we are anxious about something, that like children are anxious about something, running to their parents, so we are anxious about something and we need to run to God. God is bigger than any problem that you might have, and so we need to run to him. The next time you're in need of help, I want you to think about something. Think about a single bolt of lightning and recognize the one who has made that single bolt of lightning. You see, when you see one of these beautiful bolts of lightning that flash out here in one of those building storms that's coming kind of up out of the southwest and heading toward our way, and you see that bolt of lightning, recognize that that bolt of lightning is caused by the heating of air molecules to the temperature of 54,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That is 10 times higher than the surface of the sun. That bolt is only 2 inches wide, but you and I see it only for 300 millionths of a second when it flashes, but we see it. We can see it. In fact, the same channel of lightning can contain a lot of those strokes. And the power in that bolt has so much power that there is a generation of power to the tune of 1,000 billion kilowatts of power. 1,000 billion. Now, considering that the average household uses about 1,000 kilowatts of power per month, that means that one of those single bolts of lightning could furnish power for a month for 1 billion homes. Add to that fact that there are approximately 2,000 thunderstorms going on at any one time all over the world. 2,000 this very moment going on somewhere in the world. And those thunderstorms contain on an average 1 to 3 flashes of lightning every minute. Begin combining this thing and we see that God, who is the God of all power, is the one who created this power, this awesome power. And I'm just talking about God who controls everything. Folks, that's the first thing that you need to get in your mind. Because if you're in a situation where you feel helpless, or you're in a situation where you desperately need help, remember this: God is bigger than the troubles that you might have this morning. But there's a second thing the psalmist notices here. God cares about your troubles. In verses 3 through 8, we find the pilgrim's confidence is built not only because God is bigger than his troubles, but because he believes that God truly cares about his troubles. Have you noticed how often he repeats that phrase over and over? Watches over you, protects you. The Hebrew word means to keep, to guard, to hedge about, to protect. And he uses that term 6 times in these verses. And the Lord will protect you from all harm. The psalmist is really keen on getting over the idea that God is keeping a watch on his people. Another feature to notice is that the psalm repeatedly uses the word you. You. Now, he's not so much interested in teaching the abstract truth that God is concerned in general with all people, as he is the truth that God is concerned with you specifically as an individual. Because he uses a word here that is not in the plural at all, but rather the singular, intimate you. God is concerned about you. He watches over you. That's wonderful reassurance. The Lord's care is constant too. You see, in verses 3 and 4, where we find that the Lord's care is constant. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber, according to the word of God. Now, God's watch is constant, and he never goes to sleep. He's never out there daydreaming like we do. He never is distracted. He is never inattentive. We can sleep safely because our God is always awake. You know, one of the amazing attributes of our God is that he never, ever sleeps. That means when you and I woke up this morning, God hadn't been asleep. Sometimes we might think he's just getting up too, but no, he hasn't been asleep at all. He never sleeps. When you and I go off dozing in the afternoon, he's not getting drowsy either. He never slumbers. He's on watch 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Now, as I mentioned to you earlier, one of the discouraging things that the pilgrims making that ascent up that mountain path to Jerusalem, one of the discouraging and distracting things they would encounter was these shrines for these pagan gods. Among them was Baal's shrine. Baal was the Phoenician fly god. Now, you may remember Old Testament history that Jezebel, the queen of Israel one time, actually worshipped this pagan god, Baal. And she had a bunch of her religious cronies that also worshipped the pagan god, Baal. One of the attributes of Baal was that he was, it was difficult to get in touch with him. They thought that he was always sleeping, that he was always slumbering. That's why the followers of Baal were always shouting loudly and cutting themselves with stones and things like that. You remember when Elijah the prophet was up there on Mount Carmel and he had the encounter with the 400 prophets of Baal? And he talked to them and said, let's just see who really is God here. If your God answers by fire, then we'll say he's God. If my God answers by fire, then we'll say he is God. But let's put it to the test. And so we're told that those prophets of Baal went first, and when they were trying to get his attention, we're told that they shouted loudly and shouted at the top of their voices. And then they begin to take stones and just begin to rip across their chest with these stones, cutting themselves and trying to get the attention of their God, because they felt like if they could just get his attention, then he would hear and answer their prayers. Elijah was so amused by this, he said, listen, you guys, is he asleep? Can you not get his attention? He said, maybe he's slumbering. Maybe he's indisposed some way. Maybe you're just not able to rouse him. You may recall that Elijah taunted them that way, but he was trying to say this to them and trying to make a point. The God who is a true God neither sleeps nor slumbers. He is constantly watching over his people. Back during the days of World War II, the Germans were bombing London all night, every night. After one particularly devastating attack, the citizens of London began to look for through the ruins for the dead and the missing. One person they could not find was a godly older woman, and they couldn't find her. They searched all throughout the debris, everything that was destroyed and torn down, but they couldn't find her. Finally, someone found her in her bedroom, fast asleep. And they said, how could you possibly have slept during the midst of all of this bombing? And she said, the Bible tells me clearly that he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. I figured there was no use for both of us to stay up all night. So I just went to bed. The psalmist is saying our God is like that. We don't have to worry about it. He's got this thing under control. Whatever the mountain is you're facing, whatever the pathway that you're walking right now that seems so difficult for you, remember, God has it under control. Now, he goes on to say in verse 3, he will not allow your foot to slip. The word that he speaks about is, he's talking about weaving or wavering. He's talking about something that is unstable. Now, the picture that the word gives us comes from a Hebrew word that means a pole. Some of you guys are farmers or ranchers, and you know if you put up a fence post, you have to have that thing deep enough. If it's not deep, it's going to fall down. It's going to be bent over one way or the other. Those guys of you who've gone out with us to Africa, you know, we hang in these hammocks, and sometimes they put poles up for us to tie onto. And in those poles, we tie our hammocks. So those poles have to be deep in the ground. If they're not deep in the ground, what happens is during the night, you begin to have this number. You know, they begin to come in on you, and you wake up in the morning, you're sagging all the way to the ground. This is the picture that the psalmist is giving to us. He's saying God will not allow your feet to get like that. He won't allow you to start moving. He won't allow you to start slipping and sliding. If you belong to God, if you're a child of God, through a personal faith relationship to him, through our Lord Jesus Christ, God has become the general contractor of your life, and he has never built a house that has crumbled. He has never laid a foundation that wasn't firm. There's a fourth thing here. God's care is close. In verses 5 and 6, we find the Lord's care is very close. We often talk about God as if he were a long way off. Bette Midler actually had a song that was about that. She said, God is watching, God is watching, God is watching us from a distance. That's a typical secular perspective and position. In fact, the secular world wants God at a distance because they feel like God is safer at a distance. They want a God at a distance who's close enough to call if there's another 9/11 attack, but not so close that he actually interferes or gets involved in our daily lives. Psalm 121 verse 5 said, the Lord watches over you, and he's a shade or a shelter at your right hand, right by your side. Now, God is closer than you think. In fact, in biblical language, the one at your right hand is always the closest ally that you can possibly have. That's important that we keep that in mind. One of the greatest perils then for the traveler was the fierce heat. As he would travel up the side of that mountain, the fierce heat would beat down on him from the sun. The Bible says he's a shade or a shelter right by your side. God is close enough to take the heat of the situation that you're going through, whatever that situation might be today. And the Bible says God is the one who is your shade or your shelter right by your side. That word is very important. Now, I know that there have been some misguided presidents who might have had a question as to what the meaning of the word is. But essentially, that small but powerful verb denotes a present, ongoing action. It means that God is constantly there. God is continually there. God is forever there by your side to offer you help. Finally, the Lord's care is continuing. We see these verses 7 and 8. These are beautiful verses that the psalm ends with. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect your coming and your going, both now and forever. God's concern for the pilgrim of this psalm doesn't end when he completes his journey. God's commitment to his people is forever. Whenever you and I are journeying through this life, realize that. Know that when you are a child of God, God has committed himself to you forever. Whatever you face in this world, whatever mountain might be out there looming before you, God is committed to take care of you. Our concern tends to be that life is comfortable. But God's first concern is that life is eternal. God's concern is that he wants us to have a life of relationship with him that is meaningful and full. And that may mean that we have to face some situations that are difficult. There might be some difficult mountains out there before us, but God is committed to being with you, and he's committed to making sure that you finish the journey. And so God's care is constant. His care is close. His care is continuing. Do you realize these verses detail one of the greatest statements regarding the security of the believer to be found anywhere in God's word? In verse 8, the Lord will protect your coming and going both now and forever. Now, can I give you some of the best news you will ever hear in your life? I want you to write this down or put it in your mind so deeply that you'll never forget it. As a child of God, did you know that even when you are not faithful to God, God is still faithful to you? That's the teaching of Scripture. As a child of God, even when you're not faithful to God, God is faithful to you. The Bible declares repeatedly that God is faithful throughout all eternity, now and forevermore. His faithfulness never ends. I heard about a college student who was talking to a star football player on the team, and he said to him, how are you and your girlfriend doing? And the guy said, oh, we're just doing terrible. He said, what do you mean you're doing terrible? He said, she told me that she was going to be faithful to the end. What's wrong with that? The other guy said. He said, I'm not the end, I'm the quarterback. I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. God will not only be faithful to the end. God will be faithful beyond the end. God will be faithful to you beyond when life terminates here. God will be faithful to you forever according to His Word. If you and I could get lost after we've been saved, that would mean that God's authority, God's ability, and God's activity was somehow not adequate to save you and keep you in the first place. There are times in life of every believer when you and I have stumbled, we've fallen flat on our faces, we've been unfaithful to God, but there has never been a time when God has been unfaithful to us throughout all of that. The Lord will protect you. You're coming and you're going both now and forevermore. He wraps His arms of protection around you. His grace and mercy are sufficient for you. Whatever you're facing, whatever that mountain is out there looming before you this morning, whatever it is in your life that you envision when I say that, He is watching over you and wraps His loving arms around you. Many years ago, I read about a man who had left England to become a United States citizen. He had been both a citizen of England and a citizen of the United States. But he later decided to go to Cuba to see if he could find his fortune there. While he was in Cuba, he was falsely accused of being a spy. And he appealed to the British consul, and they couldn't be heard by the government there in Cuba. He appealed to the American consul, and they wouldn't be heard by the government there in Cuba either. Finally, the morning came when he was going to be executed. And even though he was innocent, he had been wrongly convicted. They wheeled him out on a coffin, and they were going to shoot him right there on the coffin. His grave had already been dug, and the gunmen were just awaiting orders to give fire. About that time, both the British consul and the American consul arrived, and they hurried to the place where the man stood. First, the British consul came, and he wrapped the Union Jack, the flag of Great Britain, around that man, wrapped him up completely. And then the American consul came, and he wrapped Old Glory around that man on top of that. And then they looked at those gunmen, and they said, "Fire upon those flags if you dare. If you dare." They lowered their guns and they refused to fire because they knew behind those two flags were the most powerful governments on earth. Folks, what I'm saying to you is simply this. You may be facing something that is terrible today. I've talked with people this week who are facing things in their lives that are just terribly, terribly devastating. Mountains that are giant and looming out there before them. But let me tell you something. God has wrapped His flag of grace around you. God has wrapped His flag of grace and mercy around you, and you are completely safe from harm because of that grace. What or who is the source of your help today? Settle it once and for all. I want to just finish this thing today by bringing all of this into a New Testament context a little more. When the psalmist lifted up his eyes to the hills, they became a source of his worries. He looked and he saw the journey that he was going to have to make, and he realized that he was going to have to go up through those difficult hills. They became a source of his worry. And so he said, "When I look to the hills, where does my strength come from? Where does my help come from?" I just wish he had had a pair of powerful binoculars. You know why? I'm talking about binoculars that were so powerful that they could not just look in the distance, but they could look into the future. A pair of binoculars that were so powerful that they could look into the future 1,000 years from where the psalmist stood that day. Because if he could have done that, when he looked to the mountains, when he looked to those hills that were surrounding Jerusalem, he would have seen something there on those hills if he could have looked just 1,000 years into the future. Because that psalmist says, "When I looked to the hills, where does my help come from?" Right there on top of one of those hills, One of those very hills that surrounded Jerusalem, on top of one of those hills, they planted a cross. And on that cross, they nailed a Savior. And on from that Savior shed blood, you and I have our eternal life and all the help that we ever need. If you want to know if God cares, that's how you know that God cares. It is that cross that is the absolute guarantee that God is willing to care for you. In the New Testament, the writer of Hebrews says to a group of fearful Christians, let us fix our gaze on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't lift up your eyes to the hills and be fearful. Lift up your eyes to the cross and be filled with faith. He is the true source of help today. I don't know what it is you're facing. I don't know what you see when you think about that mountain that looms out there before you. With some of you, it probably has to do with relationships. With some of you, it has to do with finances. With some of you, it has to do with health issues. With some of you, it has to do with children. With some of you, maybe a husband or wife. With some of you, it's another kind of thing. I don't know what that mountain is that you're facing there, but I know this. The one who can help you is the maker of heaven and earth. The God of all power, who not only can help you, but cares enough to help you. And He's there for you today. In just a moment, I'm going to ask that some of you turn from your sin. I'm going to ask that you turn from your sin and repent. And by faith, receive Christ Jesus as your Savior, saying, I'm making this commitment today. I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as my true and only source of help today. I want you to look beyond the mountains. I want you to focus in your binoculars and let your gaze see that on one of those mountains, there is a cross. That cross that is planted there. And on that cross, there is a Savior. The Savior who gave Himself up for you. And that Savior is not just a man hanging on a cross. That Savior is the maker of heaven and earth according to the everlasting Word of God, the one who gave Himself up for you. Would you bow your heads for a moment? With your heads bowed and eyes closed, as God speaks to your heart now, think about this. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God's bigger than your trouble. He's bigger than whatever concerns you right now. And He can provide for you. Not only is He bigger, but He cares enough to provide for you. That care is constant. That care is close. That care is continuous. And you don't have to run away. You don't have to be afraid, because that care is there for you today. And right now He's providing for you the gift of eternal life. And some of you need to turn from your sin and receive Him as your Savior. Some of you need to come and unite with our fellowship. Some of you need to say, today I'm making a commitment of my life as a Christian, because I've allowed my focus to get on the hills instead of on the God who made those hills. I'm focused too much on the mountain that's looming in my life instead of the God who is the creator of all the mountains and greater than any trouble I might have. I don't know what it is that God is doing in your life, but I'm going to ask you to do this. Some of you need to come just where you are. You need to come, and I'll be standing right here before you. Pastor Josh will be standing here to share with you as well. We want to share with you the difference that Christ Jesus can make in your life. And you can do that by making a public commitment of your life today. Maybe there are others of you that need to take that little connection card, that blue card. If you've already filled out one, you can fill out another one. That's not a problem. You can just fill that out and say, this is my name. This is my commitment today. This is what I'm saying in response to Jesus in my life today. Then you take that little blue card and drop it in one of these little wooden boxes that are hanging on the wall out here around our building. And we'll be able to receive that and be sure to follow up with you on that commitment. I don't know what it is God's doing in your life, but I know He wants to take you from where you are, regardless how big that mountain might be and how great it might be looming before you, and give you the help that you need today. When I lift my eyes to the mountains, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Father God, I pray now that You'll just give us an understanding of this great truth. that each of us might turn our lives toward you, that we might recognize that in you there's a friend that truly cares, one who cares in a way that nobody else cares, one who has given himself completely on Calvary's cross in order that we might live forever and that we might conquer whatever adversity comes our way, that we might stand firmly to the end and even beyond the end, Lord, because you're faithful forevermore. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.